Geopolitical tensions drive ocean freight costs higher, complicating supply chain deals. The Iran conflict has injected a structural war risk surcharge into ocean freight that is reshaping 2026 annual contract negotiations, shifting cost burden from carriers to manufacturers and distributors at the worst possible moment for margin-sensitive industrials. The Strait of Hormuz handles roughly 20% of global seaborne oil and approximately 17 million barrels of petroleum per day, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration, figures that frame every shipping route through the Persian Gulf as a systemically exposed asset. With hostilities in or around Iran escalating in 2026, carriers operating in the region have activated war risk surcharges and general rate increases that are now bleeding into annual contract discussions between ocean liners and their largest industrial customers. Details of specific surcharge amounts and contract terms have not been publicly disclosed by the parties involved, but the Supply Chain Dive reporting confirms the surcharges are materially influencing contract talks across the freight market. Terms of individual carrier-shipper negotiations were not made public, but the directional pressure is unmistakable. Shippers who locked 12-month contracts in late 2025 anticipating rate stability are now facing mid-contract surcharge demands or renewal clauses that embed conflict premiums for 2026 and beyond. The war risk surcharges follow a well-documented pattern from 2024, when Red Sea Houthi attacks forced carriers including Maersk and MSC to reroute vessels around the Cape of Good Hope, adding 10 to 14 days to Asia-Europe transit times and driving spot rates from roughly $1,500 per 40-foot equivalent unit to above $8,000 at peak, according to Freightos Baltic Index data from that period. What's changed in 2026? The Red Sea disruption was a routing problem. The Iran scenario is an insurance and liability problem. War risk premiums attached to hulls, cargo, and crew, they cannot be rerouted away. That makes them stickier and harder to absorb. The nut of the story is this: unlike fuel surcharges or port congestion fees, which are operationally addressable, war risk premiums are priced by London insurance markets and P&I clubs based on geopolitical threat assessment. They do not compress quickly when tensions ease. For industrial importers, auto parts, electronics components, chemicals, capital equipment, who depend on transoceanic freight as a fixed cost input, a war risk premium that survives into 2027 contract negotiations represents a permanent reset of their landed cost structure. War risk premiums, how the insurance market prices geopolitical disruption. The Lloyd's Joint War Committee designates high-risk zones for hull and cargo underwriting. When a zone is active, war risk insurance premiums can add 0.5% to 1.0% or more of insured vessel value per voyage, figures that, on a $150 million container ship, translate to $750,000 to $1.5 million in additional per voyage cost. Carriers pass these costs downstream through surcharge mechanisms embedded in their rate tariffs. The specific surcharge figures circulating in 2026 contract talks were not publicly disclosed per the Supply Chain Dive report, but historical precedent from the 2024 Red Sea crisis shows carriers recover the majority of their cost increases through surcharges within 2 to 3 billing cycles. What matters for institutional analysis is the mechanism, not just the level. Surcharges in ocean freight are contractually distinct from base rates. Many shipper carrier contracts cap base rate escalation but leave surcharge pass-through unencumbered. This asymmetry means a manufacturer who negotiated a favorable 2026 base rate may still absorb the full weight of Iran-related war risk fees. Legal teams at major shippers are parsing force majeure clauses and surcharge carve-outs in existing contracts, a dynamic that adds friction and cost to every renewal. Industrial importers carry the margin risk that carriers offload the freight market's cost pass-through architecture is designed to protect carriers. Industrial importers, particularly mid-market manufacturers with annual freight spend between $10 million and $100 million, lack the volume leverage to reject surcharges outright. The largest shippers, those moving hundreds of thousands of TEUs annually, have more negotiating power and can threaten to shift volume across carrier alliances. Companies below that threshold largely absorb. Our view, the distribution of pain here follows the same logic as raw material cost shocks. Large-cap industrials with global procurement operations and diversified logistics networks, think companies operating at the scale of Caterpillar, Parker Hannifin, or Illinois Tool Works, can hedge, renegotiate, or absorb. Mid-market manufacturers with concentrated supplier bases in Asia and limited freight optionality cannot. The 2026 contract cycle is therefore a moment of competitive divergence, not sector-wide compression. Scale advantages in procurement become scale advantages in cost structure. This echoes the 2021 to 2022 pandemic freight surge, when spot rates peaked above $10,000 per FEU on Trans-Pacific lanes. Companies with long-term carrier relationships and dedicated capacity allocations weather that period with contained cost increases. Those reliant on spot or short-term contracts saw freight as a percentage of cost of goods sold double or triple in some product categories, according to industry data from that period. Contract negotiations in 2026, the annual rate season under a new variable Trans-Pacific and Asia-Europe annual contract negotiations, historically concluded between January and April, are being extended and contested in 2026 as shippers push back on surcharge embedment and carriers insist on conflict risk recovery. The Supply Chain Dive report confirms the surcharges are actively weighing on these discussions. The implications cascade: inventory strategy shifts. Shippers facing cost uncertainty are incentivized to front-load inventory when rates are temporarily lower, increasing working capital requirements and warehouse demand. Nearshoring acceleration. Every freight cost shock adds marginal justification to supply chain restructuring toward Mexico, Eastern Europe, and other near-market manufacturing hubs, a trend already underway since 2022 that the Iran disruption may now accelerate. 3PL and freight broker pricing power. Third-party logistics providers with contracted capacity and war risk hedges embedded in their service agreements gain pricing power relative to shippers managing freight in-house. Source: Plaquemium analysis based on Supply Chain Dive and historical freight market data. Investment positioning: where institutional capital moves when freight costs reset, follow the money. When ocean freight costs structurally reprice, capital flows in three directions. First, domestic and near-shore logistics infrastructure assets gain value. Freight cost parity between Asian manufacturing and near-market production narrows with every surcharge cycle. Industrial real estate in Mexico's Bajío region, U.S. Gulf Coast port infrastructure, and Eastern European logistics hubs are direct beneficiaries. Private equity platforms with positions in nearshoring adjacent industrials, contract manufacturers, precision components, industrial automation, see their investment thesis validated each time an ocean shipping shock hits. Second, freight technology and visibility platforms, companies that give shippers real-time cost data, surcharge alerts, and contract optimization tools, gain enterprise value. The complexity of the current surcharge environment increases willingness to pay for procurement intelligence. Terms were not disclosed for relevant recent deals in this space, but the category attracted significant mergers and acquisitions activity in 2023 to 2024, and the 2026 disruption cycle renews that strategic interest. Third, carriers themselves are a nuanced play. War risk surcharges improve carrier revenue per TEU, but only if volume holds. If surcharges drive demand destruction, shippers delaying orders, consolidating shipments, or pivoting to air freight for high-value components, carriers face a volume versus rate trade-off that historically resolves in margin compression within 12 to 18 months of a disruption onset. Plaquemium risk flag: industrial companies with high freight intensity, concentrated Asia sourcing, and limited pricing power to pass costs through to end customers, particularly in consumer durables, auto parts, and electronics assembly, should be stress-tested against a scenario where war risk surcharges persist through 2027 annual contract negotiations. That is not a tail risk. It is the base case if the Iran conflict remains unresolved. The Plaquemium view: the market is treating the Iran war risk surcharge as a cyclical disruption, a bump in the freight cost curve that will mean revert when hostilities subside or carriers compete it away. That framing is wrong, and investors who accept it will misprice industrial cost structures for the next 18 to 24 months. Here is the structural argument. The 2020s have produced three distinct ocean freight shocks in 5 years: the 2021 pandemic surge, the 2024 Red Sea crisis, and now the 2026 Iran conflict. Each one has proven more durable than consensus expected at onset. Each one has left a residual in contract structures, surcharge carve-outs that never fully closed, insurance premium floors that did not return to pre-crisis levels, and carrier pricing discipline that capitalized on each disruption window to improve contract terms permanently. The implication is not that freight costs will stay at crisis levels indefinitely. It is that the floor on ocean freight has been raised with each cycle. The 2026 Iran surcharges will eventually compress, but they will compress to a level higher than the pre-2024 baseline, just as 2024 rates compress to a level higher than pre-2021 norms. Industrial companies that model freight as a mean reverting cost toward 2019 benchmarks are building their P&L forecasts on a structural error. For institutional private equity, the actionable thesis is this: any mid-market industrial acquisition with Asia-heavy sourcing and a freight cost assumption below current contract-inclusive rates should be repriced at deal evaluation. The IRR drag from sustained freight inflation is not large enough to kill deals, but it is large enough to matter at the margin, particularly in add-on acquisition strategies where portfolio company synergies are freight cost sensitive. The smarter play is to acquire the infrastructure that benefits from the disruption, not the manufacturers who absorb it. The bottom line: the Iran conflict has added a new and sticky layer to global ocean freight costs at the precise moment shippers are locking 2026 annual contracts. Unlike routing disruptions, war risk insurance premiums are market-priced and institutionally embedded. They do not resolve through operational workarounds. Industrial importers with Asia-dependent supply chains face a cost structure reset that will not reverse quickly. The strategic beneficiaries are nearshore logistics assets, freight technology platforms, and companies with the scale to absorb or contractually deflect surcharge pass-through. The strategic losers are mid-market manufacturers with concentrated sourcing, thin margins, and no freight cost hedge. Investors should underwrite to that asymmetry, not to a return to pre-disruption normalcy.